In this episode of Bengal Buzz, part two in this two-part series, Ryan Sargent speaks with new ISU business consultant for workforce training and technology for the College of Continuing Education, Scott Stevens.
Program support for KISU's Bengal Buzz is provided by a grant from ISU Credit Union. With offices in Idaho Falls, Blackfoot, Burley, and Pocatello, ISU Credit Union provides a full line of services for financial solutions, including home, auto and RV loans, and credit cards, plus over 5,000 shared branches nationwide and much more. Bengal Buzz, supported by ISU Credit Union. You've never seen banking like this.
Coming up on KISU-FM is Bengal Buzz, a show featuring interviews with noteworthy ISU alumni, students, faculty, and friends. This program is dedicated to exploring and celebrating the individual stories and accomplishments of Bengals. Now the hosts of Bengal Buzz, Ryan Sargent and Casey Felt.
Hi, welcome to Bengal Buzz. My name's Ryan Sargent, your host, and we're here to finish a very good interview with Mr. Scott Stevens. And so Scott was with us our last episode of Bengal Buzz. He's joining us again tonight to continue the story. Scott grew up here in Pocatello. He's talked to us about his family and comes from a long line of Pocatello Indians and Idaho State Bengals. He came to Idaho State himself on the IFT Leadership Scholarship, was student body president at Pokey High, and eventually became a sociology major, where he graduated from ISU with a BA in sociology, and then went active duty with the Army after participating in ROTC and the National Guard prior to that. So last week, and this is all available online on KISU's website, if you weren't able to listen to last week's episode, I encourage you to get online, listen to the first half of Scott's story. But to stay tuned now to hear the rest. Scott did a year in Iraq.
I did, yeah.
Told us some pretty cool stories that he had in Iraq in what, 2006, 2007?
Yeah, 2005 to 2006.
Okay, 2005, 2000. And I think now we're in 2006, 2007.
Yeah, so 4 months later, I deployed to Pakistan.
Yeah, Scott's been telling us about being in Pakistan, and he was just about to tell us about meeting his wife, and I don't know if that happened before or after he went to Pakistan, but that's where we're at in the story.
It's kind of an interesting story. I like, you know, it's kind of like a lore in my wife's side of the family of like how we met. But right before I went to Pakistan, my grandmother, who lived here, you know, she went to Pokey High and all that, she lived here and she suffered a stroke. And I just gotten back from Iraq. I had a lot of leave saved up just from that experience. And my mom called me up and said, hey, you know, grandma suffered a stroke. And I was like, oh, you know, is it bad?
You're in Pakistan at this time, right?
Actually, no, I was in Fort Bragg, North Carolina at this time. This is kind of in between being in Pakistan and being in Iraq. Okay. I'd just gotten the assignment to go to Pakistan. But it was the week before Thanksgiving, or it was the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And I was like, man, I just felt like I needed to be home, you know. And so I called up my supervisor and I said, hey, you know, my grandmother's stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah, go. You know, there's no need for you to stay here. We've got it covered. Go. And so I bought a plane ticket, you know, that night, and, you know, I was on a flight out of Durham, North Carolina, it went from Durham to Salt Lake and then Salt Lake to Pocatello. So I landed in Salt Lake and I called my dad. I was like, hey, I just landed. Can you come pick me up? You know, I should be in Pocatello in, you know, next couple hours or so. Can you come pick me up? And he's like, oh yeah, sure, absolutely. And so while I was waiting there in the airport, or is it the terminal? I'm sitting there and I see this pretty good looking girl get on the plane at the same, you know, right before me or whatever. But I could tell, again, like I mentioned before, I served an LDS mission, and so this girl, she had an LDS name tag on her clothing, and she was with an older lady, which I assume was her mom. And so she got on the plane, and so as I get on the plane, you know, I'm kind of thinking, yeah, I've hit the jackpot here, you know. But I see this lady that I know, her Leah Wood, who is her kids are, you know, all, you know, grew up here as well. I grew up with her kids, and she's on the same airplane, and she sees me, and she's like, and this girl is sitting next or right in front of her, and she waves me over. She's like, Scott, you know, I haven't seen her for 4 or 5 years, maybe 10 years, and she's like, hey, you know, how are you doing? I'd see your parents all the time. How's things going for you? And I was like, you know, I kind of told her what I was doing, and this girl was sitting kind of in front of her, And she's like, oh, do you know Crystal Hazlett? And I was like, no, but I'd like to. No, I wasn't quite that sleazy, but no, but I was like,
You're both in the same situation. Huh? She's coming home from a mission, hasn't been on a date for year and a half. You've been in Iraq.
Yeah, and haven't been on a date for a year and a half. Yeah. Exactly, same situation. And so I say, but I was a little more of a gentleman than that, but I was like, oh, you know, I see you got back from your mission. I asked kind of what she's going to do. She's like, oh, I'm probably go back to school, maybe go to, I was like, oh, where are you going to go? She's like, well, I've been going to ISU, or I might go to BYU, or we'll see, you know. And, yeah, you know.
Threw up in your mouth a little bit. Yeah. She said, oh, maybe I'll go to BYU.
I don't know. And so I was like, well, okay. And I mean, the plane took off, we landed, got off the plane, and I, as I get off the plane, I see, you know, when a missionary comes home, a lot of people are there at the, you know, and at the, and I knew a lot of these people, and I was like, oh my gosh. And well, I didn't want to be a distraction, you know, I mean, this is her big homecoming and stuff. So I went and I grabbed my gear and I went outside, and I went outside the Pocatello Airport, or at the Pocatello Airport, and while I'm out there, my dad's a little bit late picking me up, and out comes this old lady walking towards her car. And so I go over and I, you know, help her. You know, I was, you know, a good military guy, you know, and I walk over and I help her get in her car. I was like, hey, is that your granddaughter that just got here?
Okay,
you know, is that
okay?
Like,
real reason you helped her?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, gotcha. I'm looking for any angle, you know, any angle I can find, you know. And so she's like, yeah, that's my granddaughter. She's a great girl. And I was like, yeah, seems like it. But she got in her car and I shut her door and zoom, she was off. And again, didn't really think a whole lot of it. Well, the next day I was with my grandpa. They had to go to Snell's Pharmacy, you know, here in Pocatello. That's where they were getting their prescription. And I go in and I'm there with my grandpa, and in comes this same old lady. And I, you know, hey, June, you know, how are you? Her name was June. And hey, June, how are you doing? And she's like, wow, it's crazy to run into you, you know, twice in 24 hours or so. I was like, yeah. And you know, we just talked for a few minutes. She's like, hey, if you're ever you know, if you're bored or you don't want to come visit me sometime, feel free. You know, I mean,
what time does your granddaughter come
over? Yeah, is your granddaughter come over often? You know, like, and so I didn't think a whole lot of it. And so that week went by. We had Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday. And so it's Friday night, and I'm sitting at my house, and my parents are over at my grandparents' house. I'm sitting at home, and I'm just like having this big pity party. Like, I am the biggest loser. You know, like, I can't even, I don't have a date. I don't have any friends. You know, all my friends are gone. You know, I'm just having this big pity party. And then all of a sudden, this thought hits me. He's like, why don't you call that old lady up and see if her granddaughter's available? And so I said, you know what? I was like, I'm thinking to myself, like, who would do that? who would do
that? Somebody that's going right back to North Carolina in a few days and Pakistan after that.
Right, probably. You're spot on. That's the exact thought I had. I was like, you know what? I might as well, you know. And so I garner up the courage, and I you know, she told me what, you know, where her phone number was in the phone book. And I mean, this is back when we still had phone books, you know.
Yeah.
And I looked it up, and I call this number. And June comes on the line. I'm like, hey, June, I don't know if you remember me from the airport and the pharmacy, but I'm just calling to see if your granddaughter's available to you. And she's like, I don't know. You'll have to ask her. And so I immediately, like, I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, I mean, I'm we're at the point of attack or whatever. And a few minutes later, Crystal comes on the line. And in the background, I can hear all these people. So I guess they're having family reunion for, like, Thanksgiving or something like that.
And you're asking around in front of everyone.
In front of everybody.
You hear clicks as other people pick up the other phones in the other rooms.
Hear the heavy breathing on the other line. That's right. And so, like, I was like, hey, Crystal, I don't know if you remember me from the airport, but, you know, I was wondering if you'd like to do something tonight. And so she gets on the phone and she says, yeah, I'm doing something with my friends. And then she pauses for a second and she goes, do you want to come? And I was like, I got nothing to lose. Absolutely. And so I said, yeah. And so they were going to not the real theater, but the other theater.
The old Carmike.
Yeah, where Red Robin is now or whatever. So I was like, I'll just meet you there. And so I met her there. And when she was there, she's going with her friends, she's really went with all of her cousins. And she has, like, I don't know, right around like 250 cousins. We took up like a couple of rows and that, you know, and I'm sitting by her, and like, she's there with her cousin who actually I knew from at ISU. Like, she was a freshman when I was a senior, and like one of her friends I was friends with, and, you know, long story, but like, as anything, like, Pocatello, we're always connected. Right. But, so I, uh, So, but I'm sitting by her, and like her, she had told her cousin, like, if this guy's a real weirdo, you know, like, yeah, you know, get me out of here. But I guess I proved not to be too much of a weirdo. And yeah, we went out, we had a good night. We watched the movie, and then we went and got ice cream. And then the next night we, you know, we went and had dinner, and then I left. I had to go back to North Carolina, and my grandmother actually ended up passing away. And so I came back the first part of December, and they just gave me leave, said, be back, you know, by the time we're going to probably to leave, you know, the Army's like, hey, we'll probably leave to Pakistan, you know, the end of December. So just be back probably, you know, the 26th, 27th. And so I came home, I spent Christmas, and Crystal and I spent almost every day together. Yeah, and
we had a good month. Huh?
Yeah. And I said, you know what, we should get married. You know? And so I asked her to marry me on the 25th of December Christmas night. Yeah. And then I left the next day and we talked, and
she say yes on Christmas.
She did.
Like, let me date around while you're in Pakistan.
Yeah, let me see how this will go. You know, let me see what other better options are out there that'll stick around a little longer. She said yes. And so we started planning the wedding, and so I get to Pakistan. So kind of long story. Like, this is a long story, but like I get to Pakistan, and like within like the first month, the Army comes out and says, we're going to extend. It usually was a year long deployment. They needed to like reset some things, because some guys were like, I mean, it was like constant churn for them. So they're like, we need to reset some stuff. So they said, we're going to leave everybody that's on deployment now that's actually going to turn. We're going to attack another 3 months onto your deployment. So my deployment went from 12 months to 15 months.
Oh, we got to move the wedding back a couple more months now.
And so my wife, I remember I called her, because we could call from Pakistan. We had these cell phones. It was like 5 cents a minute. It was incredible. Like, I mean, again, it was a pretty good deal. Yeah. So I could call home, you know, two or three times a week and talk for a half hour, and it, you know, wouldn't break the bank. So I called Crystal and I said, hey, you know, this is what's going on. And she's like, yeah. And then we got talking, like, well, maybe, you know, but they tacked an extra 3 days onto my mid deployment leave, where, you know, I'd come back and she said, well, what if we got married while you were home on your leave? Or maybe I made the suggestion. And so that's what we ended up doing. We got married on July 21st, 2007, on my leave. And so we got back, and like 2 days later, I got home from on leave, and 2 days later we got married, and we spent the time together. And then I had to leave.
Peaced out.
I had another 8 months left on my
Well, I bet that was a hard 8 months.
It was, you know, and as anything is, we made the best out of it. What was kind of neat is we had email. I mean, we're still in the age of email and stuff, and we had phones. We could call each other, but we wrote each other every day, if not even more. Usually in the evenings, I would write her a letter on an email, you know, a detailed email of like what was going on and some of the things, and we would share our hopes and dreams, you know, things. We had that communication, and it was, you know, as tough as it was to be away from each other, it really kind of to serve a purpose to strengthen our relationship.
Yeah, cool way to get to know each other.
Yeah.
You know, as fiancés and then newlyweds.
Absolutely. So. And then I got home from that in April of 2008, and then, in June, I separated from the Army, and we came back here to Pocatello, actually, for about a year. Like, we're both from here. I thought about going to graduate school, and I actually...
So, where did Crystal go on her mission?
So, she went to...
You met her back, but... Before we get too far, I wanted to hear where she went.
So she went to Independence, Missouri.
Oh, very cool.
She was actually she never served full proselyting. She was always in a visitor center. So for the first, I think, 14 months of her mission, she served at the Liberty Jail Visitor Center.
Oh, very cool.
And then, where like Joseph Smith was incarcerated. Yeah. Like
lots of Mormon history in that area. So probably a cool place to...
Yeah.
To be on a mission.
And she was a history major, which was kind of cool for her.
Yeah, you know.
And then she served the last 4 months of her mission at the Independence Visitor Center, which, another, a lot of Mormon history in there.
Very
and stuff
cool.
like that. So
Very
she,
cool.
it was really kind of a neat, it was a neat experience for her. She loved her mission. But kind of along those lines. So I separated from the Army in June, and we were living in North Carolina, and we went up to, we decided to kind of see some of like the church, you know, church history sites. And we went to Independence, Missouri, and Crystal was saying, don't tell them that I served my mission here. you know, cause we were walking in, cause she's like, that's happened to me. And it's just really awkward for the person giving the tour and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, yeah. You know, but I mean, there was like this, there is a little bit of like, you know, mischievousness in my nature.
She's judging that poor, that poor other 21-year-old girl that's given the tour remembering all the facts she's leaving out.
You forgot. Didn't you forget this or whatever? You know, something like that. So she's like, don't tell them that I did. I don't want to, you know, I don't want it to be awkward or weird for that person. And I was like, okay. But, you know, there's like, you know, she's like, I'm serious, Scott. Don't do that. And so I was like, okay, well, all right. And we walk in and like, I literally, like, we take three steps in and one of the sister missionaries looks at my wife and says, your sister Hazlett. And this is like, you know, this is, Crystal's been off her mission, you know. I mean, most
she's
of her
she's
friends,
a legend at the
She's a legend. And so I started teasing her. She couldn't live that down. She couldn't live that down. And I was like, I didn't even have to, you know. And so it was a fun experience. And yeah, it, you know, we lived here. We came back. We drove all the way home. When I was going to go to Idaho State and do the MBA program. But it just didn't quite fit. And I don't know. I just wasn't doing as well at it as I thought. And so we took a year of kind of like figuring stuff out. And I ended up getting into a program down at BYU in the MPA program at BYU for
And BYU's got a great MPA program.
They really do.
One of the better ones in the nation.
Yeah, so. They really do. Like I mean, I can only speak from my experience, but it was fantastic. Again, like I don't know, there's kind of like this theme in my life. It seems like that I just get in with really good people. You know, just you know, really good people around, and like really help you know build good relationships and stuff like that. And so I went down to BYU and that was, I was just there for a year and a half, you know, that was how long it took me to get through that program. And then I went to work as a consultant back east for a little while, living in Virginia. And that was a good experience. Again, I got in with really good people. We had a great team that I was on as a consultant. And then, our project ended there. We worked on a shipyard. I worked on an aircraft carrier, you know.
Oh, wow.
Pretty sweet. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then we moved up to Alaska. Excuse me, we didn't move up to Alaska. My next project was in Alaska, and that only lasted for a few months. And I didn't really like commuting to Alaska back, because that's what it was. And that's why we moved back here to Pocatello, is so that while I was gone to Alaska, my wife would have
your family,
some support and stuff.
Sure.
And that worked out really well. And but yeah, I just didn't really like it. And so I separated from the company that had me up there, and I started working for myself a little bit, trying to, you know, I worked with a pharmacy locally, just kind of helping them with their process improvement techniques and stuff. And then this job came available, and I applied for it. And yeah, I work here at Continuing Education, and it's a fantastic job.
Very cool. So you're the business consultant for Continuing Education here at Idaho State.
Yes.
Tell us what Continuing Education is.
So Continuing Education it's kind of maybe, our office is maybe kind of two parts. Like, we have Continuing Education, and then we have like workforce training. Both serve the community at large. I usually work mostly within like the workforce training, and my job is to go out to businesses and talk to them about like their training needs, what kind of, you know, development, their employee development and stuff like that, and then come back to the university to see if we can make that, use university resources to meet that training. So a lot of it comes out of the College of Technology. Like, and what's really cool is I've learned a lot about the College of Technology. That's a gem. Like, I don't think people recognize just how valuable the College of Technology is. Like, it's a huge gem within our community, within the university.
Sure.
I mean, just on multiple levels. But yeah, and so, yeah, that, I mean, and that, but we also, the regular university, there's other things like, you know, we've had requests for like accounting, like governmental accounting. And so we've worked, you know, talked with the accounting program here on campus and stuff about fulfilling that. Continuing education. But yeah, then, I mean, on the other end is continuing education, which are things a little bit more like community type ed classes. So, and you can take like a computer class, you can take like a photography class, cooking classes are very popular. There's a litany of classes. In fact, we send out our catalog each, so we send it out three times now. It's fall, summer, and spring. And each of the time, I counted through all of the classes offered in that, and I think I counted like 99 classes that were offered that were either continuing education or workforce training type classes. And so,
very cool.
Any type of interest.
And I've heard you describe it that there's kind of two different aspects. I think you called it recreational,
yeah,
which are, you know, things to just teaching new and interesting things like the cooking class or a dancing class, painting class, whatever. And then what do you call it? Workforce development, workforce training.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's kind of – so I mean like a computer class. Like one of the most popular ones we have – well, actually the two are QuickBooks and Excel. Because people are like recognizing. Because
nobody understands either one.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, both of them are like, you know, but they're so powerful tools. And people are looking at their businesses right now and saying, I want to run this business better. I want to, you know, I don't want to be scrambling at tax season. And so they're taking these classes, or I want to understand how to analyze certain things better in my business. And so they're both really, really popular classes.
So for our listeners, how can they get their hands on one of the catalogs that you've talked about?
That's a very good question. I mean, there's multiple ways. One, it should if you don't get it in your mail, if it's not getting in your mailbox, you know, you can come to our office and get one. We take them. I usually take around the catalogs to different locations throughout the community. Some of the places are like the Department of Labor and Vocational Rehab. We leave stacks there. I'm trying to think of some other places that we take stacks of, and we bring them down to like, I think the Student Union building and stuff, so people can get a hold of them that way. But if you'd like one mailed to your house or your office, give us a call. Call our office, and we'll get you on that list, and you always give us your address and stuff. And I mean, I can give you that number.
Sure.
It's 208-282-3372. And just say, yeah, I'd like to start getting that catalog. And I mean, again, like almost any interest, and we try to keep the fees really low. I mean, to take a 12-hour Excel class is, I think, $80. Maybe it's $95. We're always looking for ways to kind of keep the cost low.
There's interesting stuff in there too. You know, I've got a buddy here in town that owns a horse trailer business.
Oh, really?
And he wanted to start being able to do some repairs or improvements to the trailers as an added thing that he could add to his business. So he didn't need to become, you know, a professional welder or anything like that, but he went to continuing ed and I think took, you know, I don't know, an 8 or 10 week welding course. Really? Where he got a certificate and felt comfortable to be able to, you know, repair trailers and things like that. So, I mean, I think there's some real value for a lot of folks.
Absolutely.
I think just the other day that there was like a single class, but it was like how to cook chicken fried steak or something come learn how to cook a chicken fried steak. And I thought, man, that'd be cool to just
learn
how to make something really well. And
yeah, and it's good.
And then that's something you throw on the weekly menu.
Exactly. And we teach it right in our. We have a kitchen that people can come into. It's a professional kitchen, and you know, I mean, we were talking yesterday about, you know, doing some cooking classes and like how many people we could put into a class. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the Alumni Association.
Yeah. This fall we're partnering with Continue Education to offer a cooking class for alumni. I think that'll be a lot of fun and kind of introduce folks to really the great programs that ISU offers through its Continue Ed program.
Yeah. And a lot of what people don't know too is like if there's something that you're good at teaching at or you would like to teach that you feel like maybe people would find value in, is come talk to us. We're always looking to add to our catalog. I mean, we've had people come and contact us about doing some marketing classes, which we actually have a really good marketing class. We call it the Marketing Boot Camp, and that gets filled up really quick. But we've had people come talk to us about teaching gardening or teaching, I mean, even like skiing or mountain biking or bicycle repair, anything that, you know, if you're interested in like wanting to teach something, come talk to us.
You know, I think a neighbor of mine did take a gardening class on tomatoes, I think.
Really?
She grows the greatest tomatoes. We actually moved. We don't live by her anymore. But, man, I love those tomatoes. And she was pretty reliant on one of those classes, I think.
That's awesome. That's what we always try to, like, really want to express to the community and stuff is we're a resource. We want to be a resource. We want to be able to, you know, give people an opportunity to be part of ISU, you know, because this is, I mean, I think sometimes, you and I are talking about this. Sometimes ISU is so close that maybe we take it for granted at times, you know, like maybe it's so close that we don't recognize just the wonderful thing that it is, right? That, you know, that it's a university and that kids are learning new things and researchers are discovering new ideas, and you know, and that we ourselves as human beings are learning new things day in and day out to become better. And we're, you know, we're growing and we're getting smarter and we're, you know, we're progressing in our lives. And but what's cool is that you don't have to necessarily enroll at ISU to be part of that. You can take one of our classes, you know, and you don't have to go through an application process or anything like that. You can come take the Excel class, or you can come take a gardening class or something, and you're part of ISU. Mm-hmm. You know, you're part of something that is a neat and huge and valuable resource to this community. And so
we're here talking to Scott Stevens. He's the business consultant at Continuing Education here at Idaho State. We've been talking about some of the offerings through Continuing Ed. Give us your phone number again, Scott, how you can reach office.
You can reach our office. It's 208-241. Excuse me. That's my cell phone number. But you can also call me, too. 208-282-3372. And then my cell phone, if you have questions about, like, you know, for, like, your business or, like, some training type things, my phone number is 208-241-5209, and you can get a hold of me. Again, like, we can help, you know, if you're interested in, like, teaching a class, or you're looking for some classes, you're, like, wondering what kind of classes that would be helpful for continuing education, you know, reach out to us. I feel like we have really good customer service. The people that work on our telephones, you know, we have three or four people that work up front. They're top of the line people. Like, they, you know, I don't know. I have to, like, kind of give a plug for the office that we work in. Is, like, everybody in our office has, like, that, you know, that servant heart. They, you know, they want to help out. They want to, you know, you'll never ask them and they won't say, that's not my job. You know, like, yeah. We'll get people that come into our office that are actually looking for student services at, you know, for the College of Technology. And one of them will hop up really quick and say, hey, I'll take you over there and show you sure. Where it's at. And vice versa. I mean, and vice versa is kind of neat too. Is like, the same thing will happen. And someone from student services in the College of Tech will, you know, someone will be coming looking for our office because we're kind of on opposite wings of our building. And they'll hop up and, hey, I'll take you down there. That happened just yesterday. And so it's just cool. Like, there's just so many people that they just want to make a difference. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. They don't necessarily need to, you know, hit home runs or anything like that. But they just want to make this place a little bit nicer, a little bit better for those that are involved. And it's just, yeah, it's just really cool. Yeah.
Well, Scott, we're almost out of time. Mm-hmm. Sure appreciate you being on the show. If you're just tuning in, this episode and also last week's episode with Scott, where you can kind of learn a little bit about his story growing up in Pocatello and how he made his way to ISU and later into the military and then back to ISU. Fascinating story, all available at KISU's website. But Scott, thank you so much for being on. Again, if you need to get a hold of Scott, you can do it by contacting Continuing Education at Idaho State. They're located in the Roy F. Christensen Building in Suite 101. And remind us of the office phone number, Scott.
It is 208-282-3372.
All right.
Thanks, Ryan. Very I really good. Appreciate this. It's been fun. This has been really fun. Thanks for having me on.
Well, like always, we close every one of our episodes with your best Go Bengals. So take us out with Scott Stevens' best Go Bengals.
Go Bengals!
Underwriting support for Bengal Buzz comes from ISU Credit Union, with offices in Idaho Falls, Blackfoot, Burley, and Pocatello. ISU Credit Union provides a full line of services for financial solutions, including mobile banking, remote deposit, online bill payment, over 5,000 shared branches nationwide, and much more. Bengal Buzz, supported by ISU Credit Union. You've never seen banking like this.